Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And I've gotten just a whale of responses on the last two shows, particularly the last one, part two of, shall we say, the purposeful intent and plan of our elitist crew, a small percentage of the country, but who runs it. Basically because we've allowed them to. And in the responses that I got, and they were across the board, but people really like the show, and I would urge you, if you haven't listened to it, to listen to both parts, particularly part two, where I kind of tie everything together. Here's a gist of it. And what folks want is they want some details. You know, I gave the big picture in the last two shows of how, A, America is under attack by our enemies, China, Russia, other countries, radical Islam, and the progressive left, i.e. communists, and how these external pressures aided and abetted with comfort to the enemy from within. I think they call that treason. What kind of effect that they're having, what a kind of effect they might have. And, you know, it's on a military sense, an economic sense. It has to do with the dollar. It has to do with debt. It has to do with the internet. You know, the form of communication and information that we use. It has to do with radical Islam. And the, shall we say, extreme sympathies for Islam at the highest echelons of our government, including probably the most powerful woman in America, if not the most powerful person, Valerie Jarrett, who was born in Tehran, Iran, and who is a Muslim. So what folks wanted to hear is they wanted to hear some stats behind the big picture. So I'm going to do that for you this week. You could almost call this part three, if you want. We're going to delve into the details of all these attacks from without and within on our country and our values and our freedoms and the futures of our children and our children's children in all sorts of ways. Health, safety, security, freedom, economic, finance, stability, quality of life. And it's all intentional. The attacks on this country from without and from within, including the unholy alliance, which I have talked about several times and which I think you're really seeing now with Obama, fixated on basically the extermination of Israel, if his policies were followed, and Iran gets the bomb, which, by the way, he admitted in an NPR broadcast this week. The broadcaster was pretty good. It was a pretty good interview. You can dial it up. You can listen for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Basically, what he said was, well, you know, this is the best way. It's the only way. The only other way is war. Of course, it's all a lie. This is the guy who has lied to you about everything. Everything. From his support or lack thereof of gay marriage, to you can keep your doctor, to there was no corruption at the IRS, and on and on and on. Along with his minions, Susan Rice, the video that caused Benghazi, blah, blah, blah. It's a blah, 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 blah. That's what they're good at. Blah, 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 spelled L-I-E, 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 lying liars. So if you'd like to take his word on what's happening with the with the Iranian nuclear deal, be my guest. But I think people who have a functioning brain cell at this point in the quote-unquote evolution of our president and his minions and his penchant for lying when he moves his lips, you'd be well advised not to believe what he or Kerry or Susan Rice or any of the other lying liars up there tell you about the Iranian nuclear deal, particularly since they want Iran to get the nuke. This is not about stopping Iran. This is about making sure Iran gets there. The president admitted in a rare halting speech, you know, he didn't have his teleprompter. He admitted that at the end of 10 years, at the end of 10 years of the negotiations, which he's lied about to begin with, Iran would be within immediate reach of a nuclear bomb. Now, this is the same president, by the way, who in 2012, when this process started, via Valerie Jarrett going to secret meetings with Iranian officials in Qatar, I've reported to you about that previously. This is the guy who said, there's no way, we're not going to allow him to keep Fordo, that 400-foot underground nuclear facility, nuclear military facility. We're not going to allow them to keep centrifuges. We're not going to allow them to do this, to do that. We're not going to allow them to keep their heavy waters reactor. Gee. Huh. According to our own fact sheet, which you can't believe, they can keep all that stuff. According to the Iranians, you shouldn't even believe that fact sheet. Pretty sad when you believe Iran over your own government, let me tell you. So, I digress just a bit, but it's actually good background. You know, we have slapped ourselves on the back. First of all, I'm not going to get into a bunch of domestic stuff here. You folks are familiar with the domestic stuff. You're familiar with, yet again, the lies that come out of this administration about what the unemployment rate is and what the GDP is, which is adjusted after nobody's looking, always downward. I think there was one upward adjustment. Always downward 3 months later when it's not news on a Friday or before a holiday or whatever. Okay, this is just SOP for this outfit. SOP. Once again, go to GovernmentShadowStatistics.com or ShadowGovernmentStatistics.com, excuse me, ShadowGovernmentStatistics.com. That will give you the real scoop and poop on what the real economic ratios, GDP, unemployment, and unemployment by different types of people in different areas is. And I've gone over it many times. So this is not about domestic. This is about America versus the world. Because that's how we've been set up by our fearless leaders. The prior leaders, Clinton and Bush. Clinton being mildly for America, but mostly for Clinton. Bush being all for America, but some bad decisions. And of course, we now have the follow-up, which is Obama, who's wildly against America. I mean, this guy actually had the cojones, after all this uproar, after 147 Christian college kids singled out. I mean, this is eyewitness reports by Muslim terrorists in Kenya. They were asked, are you Christian or Muslim? They were asked to recite the Quran. They were asked to speak Arabic, etc. When they couldn't do it, they were shot. The Muslim students were spared. No mention that they were Christian. Similar to his no mention of the 21 Coptic Christians, they were just Egyptian citizens in his statement, that had their throats slit on the Sea of Galilee a month or two ago, about the Christian women, you know, the war on women, the Christian women who have been abducted by the tens of thousands as slaves, including their children. No mention of them. They're just citizens. No mention of the fact that it was Jews in that deli in Paris that were killed, and that the jihadi was on TV during the whole process saying he went there specifically to kill Jews. In the words of our president, it was just some folks. Some folks in a deli randomly killed. Those are his exact words. No mention of Islam, radical Islam, Muslim extremists, nothing. Nope, not a thing. It's an unholy alliance between the progressive left and radical Islam. The more I get into this, I had this epiphany 3 or 4 months ago, the more I am convinced that it is occurring. And the crowning glory, like the crowning glory of the progressives, was to get Obamacare, along with a bunch of other crap that they're doing right now. Domestically, the crowning glory of their international policy is to make sure Iran gets the bomb. Because just think what Iran could do with a bomb, including to Barack's enemy, Israel. That's right, enemy, not friend, not ally, enemy. I'll let you put together the dots to figure out why. So in America Against the World, we have been patting ourselves on the back since the turn of the century. That's 15 years ago, folks. We are, give or take, 1/6 through this century. And I'm going to present to you today a staccato, a machine gun of facts on all sorts of fronts. Everywhere that we are being attacked from without and undermined from within, so that the attackers from without will be more successful more rapidly. This is all intentional, high treason. Let's start with the fact we've been slapping ourselves on the back, including by the president, all these innovations, you know, Facebook and Google and this and that. Well, you know, Facebook's terrific, and it's great for selling books and having some fun and staying connected with family and maybe promoting some causes if they happen to agree with Facebook edicts. And Google is great for this, that, and the other. But if you really figure this out, America hasn't done squat in the last 15 years. Not squat. Oh, yes, we have faster tablets and faster phones and all that happy stuff. And that all is a positive contributing factor to quality of life, communications, business, etc. But you know what? It's not the basics. It's not the basics. There's a book out there by David Stockman. He was President Reagan's former budget advisor. If you get a chance, pick it up. The Great Deformation. In it, he asks, what have $700 billion in TARP, $800 billion worth of fiscal stimulus, $4 trillion of QE money printing and debt buying of our own, and 165 months, that's the 15 years, out of 1,890 months in which interest rates were cut or held at rock bottom levels rot. Of course, interest rates are being held back by the printing of money. So he answers that rhetorical question. The number of breadwinner jobs is still 2 million. Remember what the president tells you. It's 2 million below where it was when Bill Clinton was in the White House. Remember that our population has expanded dramatically, folks. Jobs in manufacturing, construction, mining, and energy are down 21% so far in this century. Wow. Huh. So much for Google and Facebook. The non-financial business productivity growth, in other words, non-service, non-financial, we're talking about output, making things, producing things, manufacturing things, has fallen to half, that's half, 50% of the rate experienced between the years 1953 and the year 2000. The median U.S. household income has fallen from $57,000 in 2000 to $53,000 today. If incomes continue to fall at that rate, the typical American family will have only $25,000 of income by the end of the century. Think about that. Think about that. That, by the way, doesn't really count inflation. And inflation is coming. We've talked about that too. So in the 20th century, that is the 1900s, from 1900 to 1999, that's just 16 years ago, folks. In the 20th century, people joining the workforce were more and more and more, and they all earned more and more and more money. In the year 2000, 56% of Americans aged 16 to 54 were at work. Today, folks, 45% of that working age population is employed. However, thank you, Obamacare, and thank you, the plan of the progressives. Part-time work's increasing. And by the way, that's counted in the labor statistics now. That's why you need to go to shadowgovernmentstatistics.com. Part-time work is increasing. The part-time economy, this is where people work an average of 26 hours a week and earn an average of less than $10 an hour. That's not even 15 grand a year, folks. That's increased by over 25%. In fact, the only sectors of this economy that's seen growth, over real growth, in full-time employment is health, education, and social services. We've talked about education. That's kind of a waste. Health, well, yeah. I mean, you need about 1 million more people to process the paperwork that's related to Obamacare. And social services. Gee, what does that coincide? Oh, yeah, that's right. The growth of the welfare state to $1 trillion a year. GDP growth, jobs, productivity, and incomes, all the things that really matter and matter to regular people, that means you listening and me talking and our kids, have either slowed or fallen in the 21st century. That's the last 15 years. By the way, this article concludes, quote, "So far the century is a dud, a disappointment, and a barely contained disaster." I think that kind of sums it up. And one of the reasons that all this is happening, besides the relentless and well-planned and coordinated attack through energy, the dollar, economy, military, ideological, religious, you name it, within and without this country, is the rising power of China and China's increasing ability to marshal its forces. That doesn't mean just its forces, but the forces of its ever-expanding group of allies. We talked about the Asian Bank last week that China has formed, that all our allies, quote-unquote allies, Great Britain, France, Germany, have joined, which will not deal in dollars. China's, and I can barely pronounce this, Xinhua, sorry, my Chinese just is a little rusty, Xinhua news agency, that's kind of the state-run agency, they wrote, and this is at the time that we're arguing over debt, and we're arguing over a budget that spends $700 billion more a year than we're bringing in, the difference being made up by the printing presses. See how it's all tied in? They write, "The developing and emerging market economies need to have more say in major financial institutions, including the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, so that they can better reflect the fundamentals of the global economic and political landscape. What may also be included as a key part of the effective reform is the introduction of a new international reserve currency that is to be created to replace the dominant U.S. dollar, so that the international community could permanently stay away from the spillover of the intensifying domestic political turmoil in the United States." Gee, who do we have to... Oh, the progressives. That's right, the Democratic Party, which is also the Progressive Party. In fact, it is the Progressive Party. It goes on. Of course, the purpose of promoting these changes is not to completely toss the United States aside, how nice, which is impossible. Rather, it is to encourage Washington to play a much more constructive role in addressing global affairs. By the way, since we discussed all this, it looks like Mexico and Canada and the Japanese are also going to be joining the Asian Bank. That's just in the last week. Lovely. And to continue with this, Turkey, Egypt, remember? Turkey, NATO, Egypt, they were until Barry supported the Muslim Brotherhood against the people, like he supported the mullahs against the Green Movement, the people in Iran. Turkey was our biggest ally other than Israel in the Middle East. Russia and Brazil are joining the Asian Bank. Terrific. So a big chunk of the world has aligned with Russia. I'm sorry, with China in this Asian Bank thing, which is an attack on the US dollar. It's a huge defeat for the US economically and financially, and in terms of our power, because much of our power, as I've discussed, comes from the fact that the dollar is reserve currency, which unfortunately allows us to print money, which pays for our military and all the budget deficits, including $1 trillion in welfare spending, so that these narcissistic, traitorous progressives who run this country can buy votes to keep themselves in power using your tax dollars. So, Al Jazeera, remember Al Gore got $100 million for his TV station from Al Jazeera? Well, Al Jazeera had a pretty good article. I'm just going to give you an excerpt. And it's talking about, by the way, the Asian Bank. This bank is not just a standalone initiative, an independent body among many others. It's a core component of a much broader template, a long-term plan that China began putting in place some time ago. Already, some of the more than $3 trillion Beijing holds in foreign reserves, that's the dollar, guys, has been further deployed in international markets. Its economic reach now spreads beyond Asia to the Middle East, Africa, and as far away as Latin America. Along the way, the renminbi, also known as the yuan, has in a limited way gained a small foothold as a trading currency, with economic partners happy to settle bilateral deals directly with Beijing without having to go through the dollar. As these relationships mature, the vision is that the RMB, i.e., the yuan, the Chinese currency, will eventually be accepted alongside the dollar and the euro as a fully convertible reserve currency. By that stage, Shanghai will have established itself as a center for global finance as powerful as London or New York. And the net result will be that global financial flows, and therefore power, will have shifted some way east. Now, here we have an Arab Islamic controlled media that was purchased from our friend Mr. Gore, basically telling us exactly what I'm telling you. Now, if the Arabs have figured this out, and the progressives have figured this out, and everybody is hell-bent on doing this, everybody meaning the progressives, the Arabs, China, and Russia, do you really think this would be happening without some inside help? And remember, help can be a lack of an act, or it can be an act. It can be not preventing something, or it can be stimulating something to happen. And I think both are occurring. To give you an idea of the increasing clout of the Chinese, who, in terms of nation states, the Chinese, the Russians, and Iran are our three greatest enemies. That is what Reagan would have called the axis of evil in 2015. And that's not to say that there's not other evil. You could include ISIS as a subpart of that axis, and Al-Qaeda, and that whole crew. Venezuela could be kind of a mini part of the axis. But that is the axis of evil of our time. And I will tell you that China is all way too smart in this planning. I mean, they see the purposeful rift that is being created in this country between young and old, men and women, wealthy, non-wealthy, black and white, you name it, immigrant, non-immigrant, illegal alien versus natural citizen. They see it, and they're capitalizing on it. To put this in perspective for you on this show of America against the world, the Chinese stock market trades at a 12-month price-to-earnings ratio, they call that the P.E. ratio, of 10. That means if a company owns a dollar, its stock is worth $10. I'm really simplifying this, but you get the picture. The S&P trades at a P.E. of 20. The S&P, New York Stock Exchange, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're different, but the American markets trade at an average of 20-to-1 P.E. That means for every dollar of earnings, the stock is priced 20 times higher. Now, where do you think there's more growth potential? If you buy a stock in a company, if you buy a stock for a dollar in a company that's making $10, or you buy a stock in a company that's making $20 and pay proportionally. To put it another way, and this is probably better, how about, which do you think is better, paying $20 for one share of a stock in a company earning a dollar, or paying $10 for one share of stock in a company, in the same company earning a dollar? I mean, that's not hard, right? The $10 deal is better. So the Chinese markets, which by the way have been surging, I mean, they're up like 8% just in the last several months with this Asian bank thing. I mean, the Chinese are really smart. So the Asian markets and the Chinese markets are surging at a rate 4 or 5 times greater than the New York exchanges and the London exchanges, the Western exchanges. And it's because, A, the stock is cheaply valued relative to ours, and B, the dollar is losing its power as a reserve currency. The power is shifting, just like the Arabs in Al Jazeera wrote. And just like I have been trying to say, I've been beating the drums on for 3 or 4 years since I started this show. Except now we're at an accelerated pace as the plans of the progressives who run this country move ever faster and ever more successfully. Let's compare China's real estate investment as a share of their gross domestic product. In other words, their total output, you know what GDP is, what's real estate? 25%. That is like 3 times what ours is. Overcapacity in housing. China's population is 3 times that of the U.S., and China has 70 million, let me repeat that, 70 million housing units in the pipeline. That means in planning, under construction, getting completed, about to be moved into. 70 million housing units. Do you know what we have? 1.2 million. 70 times our real estate market. 70 times. with a population which is only three times ours. All right. And by the way, they have a real estate bubble going on over there, and house prices are going down. I'm not going to bore you with all that. I'm just giving you comparative analysis here. Us compared to one of our major state enemies on the planet, who seems to be so far way smarter than us. Concrete. How's this? You'll love this. Do you know that their use of concrete is roughly 40 times our use of concrete? Think of all the concrete that we use for everything that we do. New buildings of every type and roads and bridges and you name it. China uses 40 times more. Does that put things in perspective for you? With a population 3 to 4 times more. Now let's talk about Russia, our overtly aggressive enemy state. Nice reset, Hillary. Great job. Really nice. Oh, and Barry, you know that little tape session? You guys can look it up at Google and see it. When you thought the mic was off, when you leaned over and patted Vladimir's, the president of Russia at that time, who was working for Putin, you patted him on the thigh and said, "Don't worry, I'll have more flexibility after the election's over." In 2011, you remember that? Yeah. I guess they got their flexibility in Crimea. I guess they got their flexibility when they threatened Denmark 2 weeks ago with nuclear weapons. Threatened Denmark with nuclear weapons in public. And not a word was said by any of the NATO allies or, of course, our president. He was busy golfing. He was busy talking about Christians and the Crusades. So Russia has correctly figured out what China has, but from a different tact. I talked about this last week, but let me give you some statistics like I gave you with China, which will blow your mind. All right, number one, Russia has figured out that energy is the key to currency. The dollar is the reserve currency of the world because it is the petrodollar. The world doesn't run without energy. Nothing happens. You can't pump water. You can't grow food. You can't get anything anywhere. You can't have heat. You can't have light. You got to have energy. It is like the staple product. And Russia has more of it than anybody else. Now, how do they not only increase their own wealth, but how do they hurt their enemy, the United States? They make sure that, number one, they grab the supplies in the ground, and they already have a bunch just within their borders. Number two, that they do deals wherever they can to supply that energy. And number three, that supply is not in dollars. It's in rubles. It's in yuan. It's whatever, but it's not in dollars. And Putin has figured this out like the smart KGB dude he is. And he's rocking and rolling with it. To give you an idea, Russia is 15% of the total oil that moves in the world every day. 15%. That's almost 8 million barrels of crude every day. And it has enough reserves to keep pumping. Its reserves are estimated at 77 billion barrels, with possibly another 123 billion barrels in the Arctic. You know, the Arctic that Mr. Obama won't allow us to drill in? Okay, Finland, Hungary, they get almost half their oil from Russia. Poland, 75%. Sweden and the Czech Republic and Belgium, 50%. Germany and the Netherlands, upwards of 40%. And you know who their other big customer is just in the last few years? China. China needs lots of energy to build 70 million houses and use 40 times more concrete than we do. And as we'll talk about later in the show, to steal our secrets through cyber espionage and build instruments of war, spending five times more than we are on military, using our designs, which they've lifted right out of our computers. Because our government is busy playing golf and talking about the war on women rather than protecting our cyber infrastructure. Or for that matter, our power grid. We're going to talk about that too. Not a dime of all these energy deals that Russia is doing. And by the way, in addition to this enormous production and reserve of oil, and their enormous supply and expanding supply to the West, the East, you name it, if somebody wants energy, Russia goes, me, but don't give me dollars. China gets 10% of its oil from Russia. Think about how big China is. It's committed to buy more. There's a 200, I talked about this a little bit last week, a $270 billion 25-year oil deal that includes the construction of a 3,000-mile pipeline underway. That's right. And China is a bigger market than Europe. Not a dime of that is going to be transacted in U.S. dollars, folks. It'll probably be done in the yuan through, guess what? The New Asian Bank. Putin and China are subverting the petrodollar and instead doing a direct exchange of rubles, the Russian currency, or yuan, the Chinese currency. On top of all that oil, Russia sits on 1,600 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. That's a quarter of the world's, a quarter of the entire supply of the world out there. And that doesn't include unconventional gas like propane and liquids and all that kind of stuff. All told, Russia might control as much as one-third of the world's supply of natural gas. And Russia has been ramping up natural gas exploration and production in Nigeria, Egypt, they used to be our ally, Mozambique, and Algeria. By the end of 2015, Russia's going to control half of the production in Africa. Think about that. Half. We have done nothing because our hands are tied. We can't even drill off our own coast. We can't even put in the Keystone Pipeline. How come? Oh, wait a minute. It's the Democrats, the progressives, that are tying our hands while our enemies steal the reserves to be sold in transactions to people other than us in currencies other than the dollar. You don't think this is intentional? Really? Wow. Al Jazeera knows it's intentional. Oh, man. And by the way, Russia is also pushing into China with natural gas pipelines, i.e. more commerce, non-dollar commerce. He just inked a deal with China to supply trillions of cubic feet of gas over the next 30 years. In addition, you know, because Putin is smart, he's made this huge play for uranium. Let's see, Iranian uranium stored in Russia. And who's the deal being inked by? Oh, that's right. The Progressive Democrats, Barry and crew. You think this is all coincidence, folks? Really? Wow. Russia has its hands on 47% of the world's primary production of uranium. And it's also grabbed up in mines in Australia, Canada, Kazakhstan, South Africa, and Tanzania. Wow. You think Russia's trying to corner the global energy market and make sure it's transacted in anything but the dollar? I wonder. And are we doing anything to stop it? No. Are we doing everything to enhance it, i.e., rejection of the Keystone Pipeline, no drilling offshore, no drilling in the Arctic, tax foreign corporations on profits overseas? In other words, if ExxonMobil wants to drill oil in Africa, big tax, 35%, highest in the world. You don't think this is on purpose? My producer's nodding her head. She's nodding her head in assent, by the way. She does think it's on purpose. There are the U.S., just to give you an idea, in America against the world, the U.S., just with the plants that we have, the nuclear power plants that we have, and by the way, there are 75 more power plants under construction around the world, with more on the drawing boards. This is a hugely expanding market, which Russia is so cleverly snapping up and controlling. In the United States, our estimated needs of nuclear power plants between now and 2021, that's just the ones that exist, are 275 million pounds of uranium. The United States' entire inventory, our inventory, amounts to 120 million. Let's see, let's do the math on this. Oh, we're 150 million pounds of uranium short just for the plants that we have. Huh. Yet, Barry and the EPA don't allow any uranium mining. Let me think about this. Oh, it must just be they don't know. He hasn't read about it in the newspapers yet. Nobody brought him a flash bulletin out there on the golf course. He didn't get a tweet from Hillary on their BlackBerries. I told you last week, and this is true, Russian uranium now powers 1 in 10 American homes. Terrific. There's another 100 of the, there's 71, I told you, I think I might have said 75, 71 nuclear power plants under construction around the world, not in the United States, but around the world. There's another 163 in planning. We can't mine uranium here in quantities enough or in new mines enough to even take care of our own needs. Russia's out there cornering the global market to conduct transactions in any currency but the dollar. Why don't you think about this? So when Russia has its hands and its control of all this natural gas and all this oil and is supplying it to all these countries, east and west, and all these pipelines are built, and we still have the progressive Democrats at home here stifling homegrown energy or energy from Canada, i.e., the Keystone Pipeline, North American energy. And Russia decides that it's time to, and everything's being conducted in non-dollar transactions, and Russia decides it's time to really turn the screws. What do you think it's going to happen to the price of energy that we pay? And what do you think that's going to do to our economy? This is a huge chess game, folks. It's three-dimensional chess. The problem is that the folks, the progressive Democrats and Muslim sympathizers, at the very least, that run this country right now, are sitting on the same side of the board as the nation states who are our enemies and the ideologies who are our enemies. They're sitting on the side of the board that is anti-freedom, and it's on purpose. So, in addition, the BRIC countries, I've talked about them before, which includes Russia, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa, the BRIC countries, have set up an international bank. This is in addition to the Asian bank that's getting set up. And they will not accept US dollars. In fact, they won't even trade with the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund in dollars. And the bank is going to be making strategic non-dollar investments in emerging economies, i.e., energy, in Latin America and Africa. And do you remember my show about 2 years ago, those of you who've been listening that long, which is hundreds of thousands? I talked about Kerry shortly after he became Secretary of State, and Kerry is a progressive Democrat, i.e., a communist in a suit who gets $50,000 a month from his wife as an allowance. I talked about Kerry publicly announcing it was never covered by the news media at the end of the Monroe Doctrine. The Monroe Doctrine was put in place by none other than President Monroe, which basically said that we will not allow any potential adversary or foreign enemy or foreign power to interfere in the affairs or the resources or inject their military, i.e. whatever, in this hemisphere, South and North America. And he said the Monroe Doctrine is dead. And now we have China, and we have Russia, and we have an alarm. All right. Excuse me on that. A little excitement for you here in the middle of the show. And that alarm, which is not supposed to be as loud as it is, tells me that we're at 45 minutes, which means I'm going to have to start wrapping up. It's a huge topic. So we have China, Russia, Iran, the current axis of evil, our top three enemy states, investing heavily and exerting their influence and power in South America. We have China building a pipeline with Canada to Vancouver to take the oil that we're not taking through the Keystone that Barry doesn't want to build. Barry and the progressive Democrats. Instead, Barry would rather send our money to where? Oh, that's right. The Islamic countries over in the Mideast. Transfer a little bit more American money over to his buddies. And at the same time, do some social justice because, you know, it's redistribution of wealth. You know, I'm not going to have time to get in everything I wanted today. But I want to tell you that the information and the information I'm giving you today is distributed primarily on the web. And I review not only newsletters I get in the mail, not only shows that I listen to, etc., but I review probably 100, maybe more, sources of information from the web. And I weed out the crap, and I don't post that. Or if I do post it, I put up, you know, a warning. Some good stuff in this article, but otherwise, whatever, you've seen it. Now, what would happen if the web, the information content of the web and its delivery were controlled? Oh, wait a minute. Net neutrality. The FCC just passed that. 368 pages. You know, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your internet, you can keep your internet. I got it. And guess where all our technological information, the one thing that we're really kind of doing well, even though it's not as important as the other things, like I said at the beginning of the show, where's it kept? Oh, that's right. It's on the web and in the clouds and all that kind of stuff. And guess who the three most practiced, I mean highly skilled, perpetrators of internet hacking and theft of secrets and finance and you name it. Who do you think they are? Oh, I bet one starts with an R and one starts with a C and one starts with an I. Russia, China, and Iran, who just happen to be our three biggest state enemies. And no matter what happens, the progressive Democrats in Congress keep blocking bills to strengthen our cyber defenses. This all must be a coincidence. Must be. This just couldn't be by design, could it? And if you think that our systems are safe, and by the way, the same progressive Democrats have been blocking for years. And by the way, some of the Republicans are just as bad. have been blocking for years the attempts by sane members of Congress to spend the lousy $1.6 billion. That's all it is, $1.6 billion. Hell, quadruple it. Let's call it $10 billion with cost overruns because the government's involved, to safeguard our electrical grid against EMP attacks. EMP attacks are nuclear devices set at an altitude above the Earth, which knocks out all communications, electronics, your car doesn't start forever, and the power grid, in which case you can't get any communication over the internet because it's all powered. Nor do you have heat, water, food, and you die unless you're prepared. See our family safety columns, which I added about 6 months ago. Now, if an EMP comes from a nuclear device, and the deal that the president is doing with Iran allows Iran to get a nuclear device, and Iran's nuclear and Iran's ballistic missile program is not part of the watchdog of this deal, even that's not in the president's fact sheet, and they're building rockets. You can see pictures of them on the web. And they're building rockets with a 3,500 plus or minus mile range, which is just about Denver, by the way, from Iran, give or take a few hundred miles. And Israel is only 1,200 miles away. Who are they building those missiles for? And could they set off an EMP? Right at the time, maybe Russia pulls the trigger on its economic plan? Well, you don't think Iran, China, and Russia would be thinking about that, do you? They love us too much. And Barry and Valerie and Harry and Nancy and Susan Rice up there, I'm sure they're protecting us, right? They're protecting us from Iran ever getting a bomb, from Iran ever having a missile which can deliver it, from Russia getting all the energy, from all these deals being done in currencies other than the dollar, making sure our electric system is beefed up to withstand that kind of attack, making sure the cybersecurity is in so that those three buddies can't hack their way in and steal secrets ranging from your ID to the plans for the B-2 stealth bomber. Gee, have you seen the new Chinese bombers? Their new stealth bombers? Well, why don't you look at them on paper and put it against the B-2 and you tell me if you can tell them apart. Other than a couple little fins here and there, it's the same damn plane. And it's acknowledged that they stole those designs from Northrop and Lockheed Martin. Yet still nothing's been done. Stealth bombers, by the way, can deliver EMPs too. I'm going to give you an example of just how weak our defense in cyber is, and therefore our ability to respond to some huge, incredible crisis like I've been describing. By the way, did you know that there's a Russian military strategist who published a paper, 28 million, several hundred thousand, and growing very, very fast. China, and they're, you know, home to one of the most advanced hacking operations, has 642 million online users. Two for every man, woman, and child now alive in the United States. Russia, also some of the most sophisticated cyber warriors in the world, has 85 million. They only have a population of 120 million. Impoverished, war-torn Nigeria, the source of some of the biggest internet scams you've probably seen. I'm sure you've had an email come across. I am Nigerian counsel for the poor dead John Roberts, and I have a $16 million estate deal for you. I'm sure you've seen those. They have more internet users in Nigeria than in UK or France. And Iran, even isolated from the world economy, and even though its youngsters and the green movement there was completely, purposely unsupported by Obama, despite their pleas for help, because he didn't want to screw with his friends, the mullahs, with whom he is now negotiating the quote-unquote nuclear deal. Even isolated from the world economy by sanctions, the number of people on the internet in Iran is triple the total population of New York City. And in most cases, folks, all you need is a username and a password. You can access virtually anything, anywhere, anytime, from any place in the world. Or you can be a turncoat employee at Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, other defense contractors. Maybe you get paid to give up your confidential secret or top secret security clearance. Maybe you're just a do-gooder like Snowden. Remember Snowden? And it's as simple as you get an email that seems to be from a friend, a family member, your boss. It has an attachment. You open it, and there's malicious software. It gets saved on your computer. It spreads to the network. It opens a hole into the company's databases or the government's databases. And you are the conduit for thefts that are far more valuable than all the great bank robberies in all of history, all put together. That is how easy it is. The Chinese have stolen all the data related to Lockheed's F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, which they've used to now generate their new fighters. The Chinese stole 50 terabytes, that's 50,000 trillion units of data, including the fighter's detailed engine schematics, methods for cooling exhaust gases, and the systems the jet uses to track targets. And the jets that China now has, which is called the Chengdu J-20 and the Shenyang J-31, threaten Western sky superiority over Asia and everywhere. And China has stolen all our military drone technology. And it's been going on nonstop since 2007. You know, it's a scary deal. And that is the attack, not only on economics, but on the military. The attack is no longer, Putin uses rather brutish tactics, but that's because he knows he can get away with it. The Chinese attacks are much more subtle. We're at war with China on the internet, and they are kicking our butt. Because if they could steal all the secrets and slightly improve all our technological military superiority, when it comes to a showdown, guess who's going to win? The guy with the best plane wins, folks. And Iran's hacking abilities, they've carried out a series of cyber attacks. U.S. banks, energy companies, U.S. military. One Iranian hacking operation penetrated a U.S. Navy computer network that's used for email, and the services, the naval services, internal internet. Anyway, that is the state of America versus the world right now. And by the way, I didn't even talk about Russia. I mean, their hackers might be the best. They knew before we did what we knew when they went into Crimea. They've been into the State Department. They've been into the White House. You think they've been into Hillary's server? Hillary? You know, it was protected by the Secret Service. Wow. And this woman's actually going to get a nomination by the Progressive Democrats to be president. And there's actually going to be like 50 million people who vote for her. That's terrific. That's the state of America versus the world, folks, on a whole bunch of different levels and a whole bunch of different tangents. And I hope that that detail, you know, and I could go on and on and on. There's details here that will just blow your mind, curl your hair, cross your eyes, make your toes twitch. These are just some of them. But they're the backup to my last two shows, which are the backup or the product of my shows prior to that. When I tell you all this is intentional, it's something to think about, and it's something to prepare for. Remember what they tell you in a plane? Put your own oxygen mask on first, otherwise you can't help anybody else. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a happy Saturday, a great week. We'll talk at you a week from now.